This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let's begin our programme today with a traditional hymn sung in Celtic style, a beautiful version of I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, sung here by Wendy Ritchie of Celtic Source.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down.
According to that hymn, which is based upon quotes made by Jesus, if today we are feeling weary and worn and sad, he says, come to me and rest. And if we're feeling thirsty for the things of God, he has promised to satisfy us. And if all around seems dark and negative, he has promised to be our light. What more do we need as we journey through life's troubles and uncertainties than one who walks by our side and whispers, I'm here for you. The late David Watson, former priest at St Michael in the Belfry in York, often used to say that when he played rugby in his younger days, it was so reassuring to hear a member of your team running alongside you in the line of fire towards the touchline shouting, with you, with you. In today's reading, Jesus is welcomed into the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Here to this home, Jesus comes searching for such things himself, perhaps seeking respite, some companionship, a little calm and stillness before the storms that he knew were about to break ahead of him. I'm reading to you from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's listen to a lovely song sung by Cory Job. Very appropriate. It says, I want to sit at your feet.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. Find you, the more I
Martha and Mary both loved Jesus and wanted to serve him in their home the best way they knew how. But they did this in very different ways. Just by being there with him listening, Mary was giving him the space he needed to relax and think and share his thoughts. You know, there's nothing quite like a sympathetic friend, is there? Someone we can be truly open and honest with and share in confidence what burdens our minds. She simply sat at his feet and listened, just as a disciple in those days might do at some rabbi's feet, drinking in their wisdom and insight. So in allowing Mary to do this, Jesus showed that he approved of her as one of his disciples. Here's Matt Redman with When the Music Fades.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
It's clear to us from our reading today that Martha worked very hard in the home and wanted everything to be perfect for her guest. She wanted to make sure that Jesus was well fed and comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. It's commendable. But she seems somehow vexed with her sister. After all, here she was slaving away when she might have enjoyed doing exactly what her sister Mary was doing. Who can blame her? Martha was typical of many women then, carrying all the responsibility for the running of the household. She was conscientious, efficient, and dutiful. She obviously felt the need to remind Jesus that her sister Mary's place as a woman was in the kitchen helping her, and she probably expected him to back her up in what she was saying. Martha couldn't quite see that Mary was serving Jesus in a completely different way. Both sisters were actually working as an effective team in their service to Jesus. And he appreciated and loved them both. Their gifts were both vital to him, just as all our different gifts are to him today in what is the body of Christ, the church. But Martha was far too occupied to see this. She was up to her eyes in busyness, and the blinkers were on. I wrote a song some time ago called Make Time for Love.
Your you're too busy counting all the ripples in the sea, running round in circles needlessly, making all those plans so easily. And you're swimming, floundering in a whirlpool all the time, racing like a fish to catch the line, while the grains of sand are falling in this hourglass of mine. Make time for love, make time for love. You're too busy thinking that by rushing here and there, powered by highest motives built on care, that you'll achieve perfection, climb the stairs. And your children are like buried treasure, oh so rare, one day soon will not be waiting there, and the sand within the hourglass is descending through the air. Make time for love, make time for love. There's 100,000 things in life still to be done, but all these things just can't be done by one. So still the racing clouds and see the sun. Catch the blossom before it gently fades away, smell its perfume, let it have its say. Who have you neglected in your race of life today? Make time for love, make time for love.
Martha's exact words to Jesus were, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I think a lot of us would sympathise with Martha. But it's sometimes the case that a disgruntled person who gets worked up and angry with someone else might just have a few faults of their own. Because every time we point one finger at someone else, there's actually three pointing back in our direction. There was once a Scotsman who rang down to the reception desk at a hotel where he was staying, and he had a complaint. There was someone hammering on his bedroom wall, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. There was a receptionist on duty at the time, who was most sympathetic and full of apologies for this disturbance. She spoke politely to him, assuring him that the matter would be dealt with immediately. She also asked him how many times his sleep had been disturbed. "Och, I wasn't asleep," said the man. "I was practising my bagpipes." Martha was trying so hard to do her best for Jesus. How very different the story would have been if she just downed tools and listened to Jesus too. We try so hard to please so many people, don't we? And sometimes we end up pleasing no one. Here's Amy Grant with a song for those of us exactly like this. It's "Don't Try So Hard."
Another Monday comes and I just wanna breathe, 'cause it's a long, long week for someone wired to please. I keep taking my aim, pushing it higher, wanna shine bright, even brighter now. Wish I could tell myself, "Don't try so hard. God gives you grace and you can't earn it. Don't think that you're not worth it, because you are. He gave you his love and he's not leaving. Gave you his son so you believe it. You're lovely even with your scars. Don't try so hard." Do you remember how the pleasure. When do we start trying to measure up? When all of this time love has been trying.
In our reading, Jesus went on to say, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Why did he think this? In this world of ours, we're so often focused on doing things, just like Martha. We too have many concerns. We too fuss and fret about many things. We multitask and end up with precious little free time. Being is just as important. And taking time out is health-giving. William Henry Davis put it this way once in his poem, Leisure. No time to turn at beauty's glance, and watch her feet, how they can dance. A poor life this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. This very image of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet is exactly what it should be like when we pray to God. Stilling our minds with no distractions, letting worries go, learning, listening, questioning, adoring. Do we do this often enough? Do we take time out to reflect and pray? If we had a closer walk with God, we might be more aware of His will. We might be guided more efficiently. This title, Oh for a Closer Walk with God, is a song sung here by Margaret Becker, Mary Brennan, and Joanne Hogg.
Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road, leading to the Honic me moia Cabal mohanam leriakur Pioi mohia A light to be my guide The Father's presence at my side In your will my rest So walk with God, leading to the light. So shall my walk be close with God, with all the hopes made new. So purer light shall mark the road, leading to the
In his book, Prayer, Our Time Saver, written by a man called Dr. Stanley, he outlines the benefits of spending time with God in prayer. He says, prayer helps us to be wise stewards of time because it provides timely direction and prevents wrong decisions. It eliminates worry and anxiety and produces peacefulness. It invites God into our activity. It produces confidence. Eliminates fretting, sharpens discernment, gives us energy. It prevents distractions, reminds us to act now. It protects us from discouragement and opens doors of opportunity. Prayer is a continuing, unbroken conversation and fellowship with God, not just for those dire emergencies which sometimes crop up in our lives. God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah with these words, "When you seek me, you shall find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you." For a church to be relevant and vibrant today, it needs its people to function together as one body, appreciating and encouraging each other's strengths and gifts. For they're all quite different, and none would have been given if they hadn't been necessary for outreach. Just think what could be achieved if all parts really did work together as one. St. Paul once told the Christians at Corinth, where there were some issues of superiority and inferiority within the church, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." And so we come to the end of our programme. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick saying goodbye for now. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And thank you for listening to our programme today. We hope you'll join us next week. Let's finish with a lovely hymn which echoes what we've just said there about different kinds of gifts. "One Bread, One Body," sung here by John Michael Talbot. Bye for now.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. One body.